Hey there, just a heads up, this podcast is for grown-ups only. We're talking about adult stuff, think spicy language, mature themes, and topics your grandma might raise an eyebrow at. So if you're under 18, come back when you're older. For everyone else, enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Hacking Love, deepening commitment through open relationships. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Anna. We created this podcast to explore the transformative power of ethical non-monogamy and how it can deepen connections in modern relationships.
We've been through it all, divorce, heartbreak, and figuring out what real commitment looks like. Now we're here to share our journey and the lessons we've learned along the way.
Whether you're experienced in open relationships or just curious, we want this to be a space where we can dive into real conversation about everything from swinging to polyamory.
We'll talk candidly about jealousy, desire, emotional growth, and radical honesty. Basically, everything that comes up when you step outside the conventional rules of love.
And if you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you could take a moment to leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to. It really helps us reach more people.
Absolutely. And we'd also love to hear from you. Our contact info is in the show notes, so feel free to reach out with your thoughts and questions. We'll definitely get back to you.
So let's dive in. It's time to hack love and discover what truly authentic connections look like. Welcome to episode 28.
Episode 28 starts now.
Starts right now. We are just leaving a lifestyle event.
It was a party where all the lifestyle friends came.
Yes, and you DJed, and another of our lifestyle friends DJed, and it was just awesome. We met two other couples there for dinner beforehand, and then you and our DJ friend DJed, and then there must have been 30, 40.
Yeah.
Of our lifestyle group here in our town. And we were just sitting here talking, driving home, like how beautiful it is to have this group of people that we're so close to now that we can just talk to about anything. And there's no masking, no bullshit. It's just, no. It's like what true friendship should be. Yeah. And I can talk to men.
Talk to men all you want. You can talk to women all at once. Great. And it's fun. We thought we'd record this because we were just talking about how much we love having this social group.
Yeah.
It's such a great benefit of being in the lifestyle. Once you meet them, the ones that are your people, then you keep meeting more of them and you just have such a great time. We don't drink. We weren't drunk or anything. We're just having a great time.
Yeah.
Everybody there was enjoying themselves and enjoying the music. It's just I was just remarking on how much I just love having that outlet.
It's everything. It's revolutionized our social life.
Yeah, 100%.
It's so funny because people think about the lifestyle as much as it's going to revolutionize your sex life, but I think even more for me, for us maybe, it's revolutionized our social life. Like, I've never had this many friends that I feel like I could call in the middle of the night and say, this happened. Or tell something embarrassing to you, and they wouldn't judge me. It's really unusual, and we're so lucky.
Well, what's amazing is they're such fast friends, and it's because you share this secret, maybe, and you share this common knowledge and common experience.
Yeah.
And that just makes you closer. You learn really quickly to sum people up. And not everybody's a fit for what we want, but when we meet the ones we are, you can really become fast friends with them. You go to dinner, you get to know them, you're talking about everything, there's no holding back, there's no bullshit, there's no ego competition.
No.
But I've seen.
There's really not. I didn't feel any pressure or expectation from anybody tonight. I had some flirtation.
Really? You know, who was that?
Definitely. Oh, God. Holy sh. Wow. Okay. Police officer just almost pulled out in front of us and wrecked with us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Remember when you were on your trip on that festival, and I stayed home, and I went to the lifestyle party by myself.
Yeah.
There was a guy there.
Which one was he?
He was here tonight.
What's his name?
We don't have a fake name for him yet.
We'll edit him out. Oh, okay, yeah.
So
this is a guy who talked to you last time when I wasn't with you. And was asking, like, why don't you?
They're a really good friend. We've hung out with him a ton.
He was still working on you tonight.
Yes, he's very flirty and sweet. We talked about skiing, and he's interested.
Yeah, we know that.
And I think the couple that we had dinner with, the newer couple, mm-hmm. that guy, I think, also was interested.
Oh, he's very into you. Just a guy that kind of looked a little bit more assertive with you at the party.
He seemed super gentle tonight. We had great conversations. I didn't feel pressure from him. He was really sweet. And then Superman and Wonder Woman were there,
yeah,
who you guys, if you guys remember from our wild night of priapism and Aiden going to the ER.
That was them.
That was them. They were there tonight, but it was a pretty big group. We got to hang out with them a little bit, but not as much as we probably would like. But
I was happy they came.
I was so happy they came. I know. He was really sweet. He was like, yeah, we need to get something on the books again.
Yeah, she told me the same
Yeah, thing. Oh, good. Oh, good. Excellent. Oh, yay. Yeah. This is the elusive four-way connection, you guys.
Yes.
It is so impossible to find, and we have that with this couple, but we're both just so busy. And then I think they, because they have younger kids, it's even harder. But it's really nice to have the chemistry there with somebody, because as you guys heard on the last episode, I feel like a little bit of a fake swinger, because I don't really play that often. But I just love the people.
Yeah, that was just a great night.
Yeah, it was really fun.
But this was a very vanilla event.
Yeah, it was totally. Yeah, this was in a vanilla bar or restaurant. Like a steakhouse, essentially. It was awesome. But yeah, it's exactly what it was.
So what else can we say?
This next episode was supposed to be about you.
See how I
definitely averted
conversation about
no,
me.
No, but here's the deal, you guys. So I realized, I don't know how I didn't realize this. We're 28 episodes in. And you guys are all listening, probably being like, Anna is so selfish. Why is she always talking about herself? No. Nobody's ever talking about Aiden.
They don't want to hear about
me. Yes, they do. And so I was like, we need to have an episode where I am asking you questions about your feelings and lifestyle. And it's not just me processing my jealousy.
We talk about this.
And because we do, but I don't think not enough.
Okay.
But
I'm down. Shoot, give me some questions.
So tell me about your experience tonight as a man in the lifestyle.
I was very pleased. So I was DJing, I got a lot of love, got a lot of, you killed it, you crushed it, and that's what I live for when I play. And people dancing, and there is a little bit of a level up in terms of, I don't know, confidence. And a lot of women were very friendly and flirty and sweet and all that stuff. It's nice to feel that, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. You're like, oh, and while there was a couple there, one of the couples we had dinner with was also at our last party. And if you guys remember from that party, I got tired and I realized because I wasn't hooking up with anybody because I was hanging out with Aiden, I felt like I was cock blocking you essentially. And so I thought, okay, I'm tired. So what if I leave the party and just go and you can just be by yourself and have the experience of, I was hoping that it would free women up to come up and give you attention, and it did. And so, which you told me about later. So one of the women was like fondling you, whatever.
She was the one that's like, why aren't people having sex at this party?
Yeah.
It's to our party, and it's not a play party specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, I thought people would be fucking more here. I'm like, it's not really a play party.
It's optional.
But then she tried to fuck me.
And then, yeah, she was definitely checking out them. The wares, yes. For sure. But that wouldn't have happened if I was just hanging on to you like I was. Probably. And I was like, yeah. And so I thought that was really nice. And so anyway, we had ended up having dinner with them tonight. And I really liked her. I don't think I'd gotten to know her that well.
Yeah, she's cool.
She is so sweet and funny and interesting. And
her husband is the guy that was
a little bit aggressive. Party, yeah.
And then he was a gentle.
And then he was so freaking sweet tonight. He was amazing. So
is there an opportunity with them?
No.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, I don't feel it. I know, chemistry is so weird, you guys. It's just, it's so delusive for me. Like with Superman, I pretty much immediately felt chemistry when I met him, but that's the only one that it's been like that with, and it's been a year, so that's okay.
And his wife's the only one really that's been like that with
him. Yeah. But honestly, if you think about it, like, my whole dating life, that's how it is. It's not like I would walk around every single day just being like, I'm attracted to everybody. That's never been the case for me.
Yeah.
It has always been pretty rare. Which, I don't know, does that make me not a swinger? Does that just make me monogamish?
I think we established that on the last
podcast. We did, yeah. Exactly. And then we're just defining our own thing. One of the men I talked to tonight, I was talking to him at the bar. He's new to our town. And he was just like, I don't really know what I'm doing in lifestyle. I'm following the rules. And I was like, dude, there are no rules. That's what we thought. We thought there were rules. And I mean, there are some things that are like.
There are things you do and don't do.
There's, yeah.
Don't kiss and tell.
Don't kiss and tell. There's things that you want to do. There's just basically how to. Basic rules.
Be a nice person.
Be a nice person. Okay, don't be a dick. Yeah. But I said, we realized is that we thought, oh, now we're swingers. So now we have to fuck people and do the things. And we ended up really biting off more than we could chew. And it wasn't the experience we were hoping for. And so we've just had so much more fun just letting everything develop more organically and just getting to know people and listening to myself. Am I attracted to somebody? Am I not? And it's funny, we get into the lifestyle because we want to avoid the relationship escalator that says this, but there is a swinger escalator of like expectation of I meet you, I spend time with you, I get to make out with you, now I expect to fuck you, right? And that's not the case with everybody, I think, especially in our group, thank God. But I think there are groups in our town that are more like that. But there is that expectation, and you would get kicked out of the group.
Yeah, you just like wouldn't be invited to the parties.
Yeah.
Play with people because that's what they do.
You've been hanging around, and you're like a stale green light. You're not putting out.
Yeah.
That it just won't work. But thankfully, that's not our group. But you can experience that. I want to go back, like, when we first started dating. And you were telling me, because I feel like you were the one who brought up sex at dawn. I feel like you were the one who kind of broached open relationships first.
I think it was around just the interest in sex at dawn to start. Because it basically, you figure out from reading that book that we're not really wired to be monogamous. You got the historical, sociological, biological, anthropological reasons why we are the way we are sexually.
Yeah.
And so I just thought it was fascinating.
Yeah.
I shared it with you, and you read it. You were like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And then we learned more about polyamory. We're reading, and you, I think you read Polysecure.
Yep.
And went that way with it. So it happened organically as well.
Like, I feel like it was very mutual.
Yeah, we were both separated at that time and not wanting to at all get into a marriage and or even really a relationship in the traditional sense. So we were looking for something else. But it wasn't really deliberate.
No, it was like less defining us than us just having a philosophical conversation about what do we do now?
Yeah.
Like we have imploded these monogamous marriages that did not work for us, now what?
Yeah.
Is that what we want again? Is that normal, natural? Is that what we really want? Or what do we really want? Can we just build what we want, DIY, from the ground up? I think that's what we ended up doing.
And again, it was a slow drip of over time, talking and talking and reading. And then when you finally pull the podcast out and start listening to those and just learn more about what it's all about and how big it is and how people can change the format and trajectory of their relationships with it. And that appealed to us. And also, we're naughty people.
We don't like rules.
We don't like rules, and we like to push boundaries on our own and push our comfort zones. And that's just been great journey to be on.
How has this been for you as a man to go from monogamy to a more open relationship model? Because I know that for both of us, it took a lot of twists and turns. And at first, there's so much conditioning, right? Should I feel jealous? Do I need to feel territorial? Or am I going to be a chump if I'm not? You know, that kind of, that whole thing that we went through. Talk about your journey from wanting to be open, but then being like, is this okay?
A lot of it had to do with me letting go of my preconceived ideas of how things should be.
Yeah.
And accepting things.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of acceptance.
Yeah.
That you go through when you do this and testing that acceptance. So if you were to kiss another guy and you come back to me, okay, so that happened. Did the world fall apart? No.
Yeah.
Then we have sex with another couple. Did the world fall apart? No. It got better. And we got closer. And so I think over time, just the reward has been us being closer, me being more confident in our relationship with myself, and really getting to enjoy that. And one of the things I remarked to you about recently was able to just relax.
Yeah.
About shit. About
yeah.
A relationship. I'm so relaxed in a relationship because I know you, I know us, and I have full trust and confidence in both.
Yeah.
And that is amazing because a lot of people don't have that in relationships where they're just, it's just who we are. And yeah, she's off doing her thing, I'm doing my thing, and breaking free of that codependent paradigm that a lot of relationships and the need to keep you close and to not have threats from the outside.
Yeah, that you feel compelled to defend against outward threats. I think men are taught that there's like a pride thing. Yeah. Like if my girl's talking to some other guy, and
it makes me look bad.
Right, it's this like cuckold thing.
Expected to do something about it.
You're expected to make an issue, cause a fight, like.
My insecurity might drive my behavior towards you to do what I want because I have fear in that. There's a lot of issues that I just don't have anymore.
Yeah.
It's just such a relief.
I don't think it ever probably felt much like you anyway, just knowing who you are. But it was always probably like you had to put on that you were, let's fight, like, let's... Yeah. You talking to my woman, like, that does not seem like Aiden.
That's not Aiden.
Yeah.
In the early case, when we broke up, it was more about just trusting us. Because
exactly.
I think, really, I was just so vested in our relationship.
Yeah.
And also trying to make sure that it was real, which I didn't believe, because I didn't believe that relationships like that could be real.
I know.
So it had to be some bullshit made-up thing, and then, of course, the shoe's going to drop. And you're going to prove yourself to be someone that I can't be with, or I'm going to screw something up. Well, that's gone, obviously. It's not something that I believe anymore. My journey's been just self-discovery, really, a lot of it.
What have you learned most about yourself so far?
What specifically? How would
you put that specifically? Do you feel like there are parts of yourself that the lifestyle has enabled you to embrace that maybe were dormant? Do you feel like more overall fulfilled?
Confident.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Confident that in us, in you, in myself.
Yeah.
That I'm a worthwhile person.
Yeah.
And I have someone who loves me beyond anything I ever thought that would be real. And that I'm worthy of that.
This relationship model is so great for trust.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything is out in the open. It is... so incredible for creating a secure attachment to your partner. I have never been more securely attached to anyone in my entire life because there's no bullshit. Just like from the day one, and I think that's so beautiful. It's like a storybook from our very first meeting.
Start out saying no bullshit.
You said no bullshit.
Literally, we have no bullshit.
And that's literally been the theme. That should be at our wedding. That should be, we should have it, no bullshit.
Oh my God, that's a good idea.
That's not a bad idea. I love it. That's the theme. We don't want bullshit relationships with each other, with any of our friends.
Yeah.
Life is short, and we want to be ourselves. I want to know every bit of you, and I feel that you want to know every bit of me, and I tell you all my yucky bits and embarrassing parts, and you love me anyway.
Yes.
And then it just makes me feel more loved and close to you. I think part of your... that I've seen you on this journey is just realizing how attractive you are. Like, I think guys often, you're just used to, it's a numbers game, and you're used to a lot of rejection, and you just get used to letting it roll off your back and not really paying attention. And especially somebody like you who doesn't have a big ego, you don't realize when women are attracted to you and when they... are flirting with you, and to be able to embrace that and actually notice it, as opposed to, I think in monogamy, men are programmed to ignore it, that that's bad, especially if there's a religious undertone, right? That they're like, oh God, no, you know, keep the devil out. And so you're actively avoiding looking at anybody, having connections with anybody. And think about how much active effort that would take to avoid connecting like that in a way that is so natural to us as humans and so beautiful. And really, there's nothing inherently wrong with. It's just that's what we've been taught. And so to be able to sort of let that go and to
as a man walk into the world, being able to, like, I loved, like, tonight we were sitting on the couch or whatever. There were a few times, there were like two or three different women who at different points came and sat down next to you. So I was on the right, then it was you, and then there's the rest of the couch. So there was a spot next to you on your left. And so different women would come in and just snuggle. Mm-hmm. And so you had the two women on either side of you. And I was like, it's so beautiful. So these are my girlfriends, and they're getting to snuggle you. And because you're just, you're snuggly, and you're wonderful, and you're amazing. And these are our people.
Well, I think a change for me tonight was that. like I'm taking you up on your, you've given me not encouragement, you're telling me I need to flirt more, and you're telling me I need to be more connective than I've naturally been in the past.
Or that you
and so
just
I'm trying that out, and it's working. Like, it's like Wonder Woman came up, we're saying goodbye, and it was just, I just felt really close and said goodbye in a way that was like, I really like you, and bye. And, you know, it's just like,
yeah,
I'm able to express myself more in that way.
Yeah.
And have, that's a real connection. That's what we're talking about. Yes. Right? Connection.
It's so nice.
And other women there that I like, that I've gotten to know over time, and just being free to be me.
Yes.
And not that I'm necessarily flirting or trying to get into bed or anything like that. It's just, I'm just free to be me and just be my normal self. And I think that's where that confidence comes from. It's me. Yeah. I'm free to be myself. Therefore, why wouldn't I be confident about that?
Exactly. Right?
Even tonight, I noticed that change. Because it's just, and it's really you that's helping me with that, because you're encouraging me.
Oh.
And I know there's no threat to me doing that. I'm really trying to break out of that programming of the threat of me flirting with another woman. That's really...
That you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah,
that
that's another little step over the line, right, in terms of just breaking from that past training.
Yeah.
And being free to do that. If someone's flirting with me or talking to me or smiling at me and I make a joke with them... And that's just who I am. That's what I do. And
exactly.
You've been telling me that forever.
Yes.
And I'm just really feeling that right now. And I'm really thanking you for it, because it's just great. You can really be myself.
I love seeing it. Yeah, I think so many men, and especially us in our marriages, the way we were trained, it's like how I didn't look men in the eye. Like, my whole default is to, like, eyes down. So just that whole change.
We're both trained that way, really.
Yes, honestly.
Yeah.
And
I guess, is that just us in our marriages with our controlling exes, or is that everyone in their relationships?
I don't know. I think probably a lot of monogamous marriages. I mean, I know in the super religious community for sure. I mean, there's whole, like, courses in extreme religion where they're teaching couples to, you know, you don't ever follow anybody else of the other sex on Instagram.
It was all that, like that.
Yes.
I see reels like that all the time where they're saying, any woman looks at your man, she's just someone ready to come and take. It's just like this bullshit theories that are out there.
Yeah.
That aren't real.
Yeah, that's because you're creating problems where there shouldn't be any.
Shouldn't be.
What you want is clear communication and honesty, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that person's hot.
Yeah.
Okay, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
Something, nothing, I don't know. But you got to talk about it. Like, ignoring it does not mean it doesn't exist.
What about your night? How was your night?
It was great. It was very...
You looked so hot.
You're so sweet.
You look so good.
It was... Thank you.
One reason I'm confident is I walked in the bar with the hottest woman there.
Aww,
every time.
Oh, baby.
100%. That's how I feel.
You're so fucking sweet. I loved making out with you in the hallway and the bathroom. We kept finding each other and making out. We're just making out with each other. Being bad swingers. Making out with our own partner. We're cheating.
Yeah, we're cheating on
cheating
everybody
on
else.
Cheating on the swingers. Yeah, we're cheating on the swingers. Our swinger friends. I know. It's late. I have a lot more questions to ask you, because I think of the male perspective on swinging is really important. And specifically you. You have been so beautiful in giving me space to talk about all my emotional journeys that I've been on with jealousy and feeling insecure. And now somehow I'm over all that, at least for now. I always say you never say never with jealousy, because it always pops up again when you least expect it. And that's normal. But
we can handle it so well now, because
do.
We know the source of it. We know the result of it.
Yeah.
The situation is going to end well.
Always.
And it always has, and it always will.
Yeah.
Because neither of us is going to overlook the other.
No.
For our own. We can if we want, right? That's the whole thing. We can do whatever we want.
No, but I love you. I don't want to ever hurt you. You're my main priority. There's nobody out there that I need to fuck so bad that
that you would like
hurt you to do it.
Yeah, hurt
that's
me,
just there's not that's not that, a thing. Yeah, yeah, hurt you, lie to you.
So I, being in this lifestyle and being with you, I get to never have that ever.
Right.
I get to never cheat, be cheated on. I never, you know, have to hurt you.
Yep.
Unintentionally or intentionally, you don't ever have to hurt me, because we're just not going to even go there. We're just going to talk, and even if we go there, it's probably going to be something we want to do.
Exactly.
So, just another miracle of the lifestyle, I think.
It is.
I know we sound like we're really promoting it and hyping it up a little bit, but this is really how we feel, and maybe it's unique to us. I know that most people that we know are probably similar in the space. It's not for everybody, but if you're in a monogamous relationship and you love it, great, keep going.
Yeah.
Apply the lessons we're telling you to that relationship.
Yeah, and you can make still it work. Just be honest with each other.
But for us, it's really working.
It's just revolutionized our lives. Yeah. And it's the only way I want to do a relationship. I would never want to go back to bullshit.
Yeah, no. Or even just closed. But it's the opposite of open is closed, right?
Yes.
And if it's closed, what does that mean? We're not talking about how we really feel. Maybe we're not sharing our fantasies, sharing our desires, wants, needs.
Yeah, because we're afraid to make each other jealous. Da, da, da. I so much rather love the, what we're doing of let's just do the things. Jealousy's going to come up just knowing it does, and we'll deal with it. Mm-hmm. And we now have experiences dealing with it multiple times successfully. Mm-hmm. And it always passes.
Always passes.
Just give me a good night's sleep and some tacos, and I'm good. I'm like, oh, what was I so upset about? Like, what the hell? I'm all set. That poor girl, I don't need to be upset with her.
All right, so hit me with your questions next.
Yes, right, so
we're going to pick this up again.
Yeah, we got to go inside. I got to pee.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Okay, we had a little intermission. Now we're coming back because I'm going to ask Aiden some questions about his specific experience in the lifestyle, because I feel like we have just so much focused on my experience in this whole podcast, and I thought we really need to do an episode just devoted to you and your feelings and experiences. I think that would be really helpful for guys.
Like I said, I'm not sure how interesting that is for people, but I'm ready to answer your questions.
I think we've done a lot of deep dives about my own personal feelings and how a lot of women are socially programmed to be people pleasers and to not ask for what we want, getting comfortable in my no, being comfortable being a quote-unquote slut, embracing my sexuality, not being worried about my body count and worrying that's going to lower my value in your eyes. So there are all these things that we've talked about on this podcast of like where social expectations have affected my experience in relationships, including our relationship. But I haven't really ever asked you how society's expectations of men have affected you. And so I was thinking we could just start there. As early as you can remember, when you were dealing with women, since you're straight, what were the models that you felt like you had to follow, or things that you felt like you had to do, or you weren't a man?
Well, it starts when you're a kid, when you're told that girls are made of sugar and spice and everything nice, and boys are made of puppy dog tails and snails, right? So I have a close friend who really puts women on a pedestal, and he's scared of them.
Mm.
He might hear this. He's one of our few friends that's listening to this.
Okay.
But he does. He sees women as a mystery. And I think it may keep him from trying harder or feeling confident with them. I think we're socialized very early, at least I was, to in the time that I was growing up, which was, it was gross to hit on girls really hard and be a lech. And a lot of guys are that way. And some guys are really gross, and other guys have a lot of game and they just do the numbers game. And other guys are a little bit more reserved. And I put myself more in that category in terms of going out and picking up women. And of course I did it in high school and college and was fairly successful at that. And it was all great. I think I had a little bit of a gift of gab. I wouldn't say I was the best looking guy, but I had the gift of gab, and that usually helped a lot.
Disagree with the good looking.
I think in our time, we've been socialized that women are equal, which I agree with wholeheartedly. I'm a feminist, I think you would say. But I think a lot of the polarity between men and women has been skewed. And there's a resurgence now of men feeling okay to be masculine
and women feeling okay to be feminine when it comes to relationships. Maybe not in the boardroom, but certainly in the bedroom. And I think over time, as we've equalized, that's taken a lot of the spark out of relationships.
It's same, but not less than. I can embrace my feminine, you can embrace your masculine, but it doesn't mean that...
neither is worse or better.
That they're both equally as valuable.
And I think we see a lot of relationships today that I wash you dry, and there's an equivalency that's expected of men, especially like millennial-aged men, and couples that are the same in their masculine-feminine polarity. And there's a great book by a guy named David Deida, D-A-E-D-A. I think it's called The Way of the Superior Man. It really explains that polarity, and it really gets deep into that energy that keeps a relationship exciting and alive. And when you have two people who are in their masculine, whether it's the woman or the man, or two people that are in the feminine, the woman and the man together, it takes that oomph out of it. And ideally, if you have a relationship that is vibrant and bright and mysterious and loving and fun and sexy, typically you'll have people who have opposite polarities, or at least are different polarities,
mm-hmm.
feminine and masculine. And the man could be the feminine polarity. It doesn't mean he's feminine, but he could be in the feminine polarity where you have, let's say you have a woman who's a really hard charging corporate businesswoman,
yeah,
and he's a stay at home dad. That doesn't mean that he's any less worthwhile. It just means that they have a differential polarity.
They're complementary.
Yeah, complementary versus the same. They're both hard charging at the office, or they're both like raise cats together. I think that difference is really important. So I think being raised as a man, that wasn't taught to me. I was taught to, oh, okay, women are supposed to be equal, which is true. But there's a certain sexiness that's taken out of that if you live that in a way.
So it made you a little bit afraid to...
hesitant.
To be, yeah, more hesitant to be more, what, assertive with women, would you say? Or
assertive, or really being able to be in my masculine with a woman. Sexually, I'm fairly dominant, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm very masculine in bed, but I would say in my 20s and 30s, that might not have been the case. And I think I was holding back in my dominance. And I say that very lightly. I'm not like a pro-dom that's going to come in and
no.
like wrap you up in chains and all that no. kind of stuff. But I do appreciate that polarity I have with you.
Yeah.
So you seem to be more submissive, and I'm seeming to be more dominant, and it really works for us. But I don't think I was really allowed to do that, even in my marriage. And I should have. I should have in my marriage taken the natural form of what I am sexually and what I am in my heart. I'm protective. I am assertive,
mm-hmm.
certainly at work. But in my marriage, we were equalized. And that's the way she wanted it, because that was her expectation.
And do you think she would have liked you to take a more
yes.
assertive stance? You think that would have worked better?
Looking back, I think that's what she really wanted. I think a lot of women who won't admit it really do want that. They want an assertive man that's going to keep them safe, that's going to take over when they need to.
Yeah.
Not being an asshole,
no.
but just being strong.
There's a difference, right? And we don't want to sound like we're some kind of conservative throwback to the 50s. That's not at all what we're talking about. I am very well educated. I've gone to graduate school.
You've achieved far more than I have. At least in your academic career, you were like...
And I have a successful career, and I'm very in my masculine at work in a lot of ways. But in general, the core of who I am, Anna, is very feminine. And I love that I can relax around you enough. Honestly, I'm safe with you because you are an equal to me. I don't have to care for you. You've got you.
Mm-hmm.
I can sense that. You've got you and you've got me if needed, honestly. And I think you know I also have my shit together, and that probably feels good to know that yes. I also have my shit together, and I'm not going to be a burden on the relationship, or I hope I'm not.
True.
Whatever the chemistry we have, whatever the name of it is, whether it's masculine, feminine, I love it. It's the most electrifying chemistry I've ever had with anybody. And it's just like our banter, our sexuality, everything. I love that I can just let go with you and go out of my mind. And everyone's going to be a little...
out of your mind, hell. What do you mean?
Out of my mind. I get into this... people call it like subspace or sometimes. I love...
you mean sexually?
Sexually. Everyone's different, I guess, in what turns them on. But for me, I really love when I can feel that a man really wants me, like he is devouring me, like he hasn't had a meal in days. And that's how you are with me. And you just get on me and you just are like devouring me. And
that's because you're so tasty.
And tasty. Yeah. So are you. I love it. It allows me to relax and let go and enjoy myself and be completely myself and feel loved for everything that I am, exactly as I am. And I think at the core, that's what a lot of women want. And I think when I've been uncomfortable in relationships before, it's because there was some kind of insecurity. And everybody has insecurities, men, women, we all have insecurities. But I think it's the way that the men that I was with were dealing with the insecurity, right? If you have someone who's having a bad day or feeling bad about something, if they're taking it out on you and blaming you or other people for it, projection, that to me was a turnoff. Complaining, blaming, whereas if you're having a rough day, what I really respect in any person, but especially who I'm dating or I'm about to marry, is someone who is really emotionally intelligent and in touch with who they are and is able to admit when they're having a bad day or they made a mistake or they're not feeling great, whatever it is, they're feeling depressed or anxious, and that we can talk it through. First of all, it helps me because it helps normalize all of that for me, because we all feel that way. And that's how I want to be in a relationship too, is to be transparent and upfront. But it also just presents as such a masculine strength to me to be able to say, yeah, this day sucked. I really hated when this happened. And like watching you problem solve, I've told you this before, it is such a turn on to me. I don't know. And it's interesting. Like, we call certain things masculine, certain things feminine. And I don't know, a lot of it's probably sexist because, you know, we think masculine is like hard charging and making decisions. And I'm like, well, I do that shit too. And that doesn't mean I'm not feminine. But so, you know, take this with a grain of salt. But I'm curious that you describe growing up feeling like you were trained to, you know, be more wary around women and not be too aggressive, which I actually think is a good thing, because we were coming out of the, 50s and 60s and before, where there was a whole lot of misogynistic treatment of women. And so maybe swing a little bit to the other side of, let's make sure everybody's consenting and that you're not harassing somebody.
A good thing.
I love that about you, that you don't make assumptions about women. You take a no as a no. You take interest as a no. You're like, you're so...
working on that.
We're working on that. I know. That's so funny. But...
I take not showing any interest as a no. When you've told me, I'm waiting for you to do something that I can be
We have to
could
read,
be a no.
We have to read the body language, right, and the eye contact.
Which you're teaching me.
I'm teaching you. We're doing a little class on it right now.
I think a lot of this was pounded out of me during marriage, because I was fairly a player in college and after college for the next 5-6 years before I got married. And I remember I was doing all sorts of things, and I was clubbing every night and raving every night and had a whole group of friends, and we were getting laid and we were partying and all that stuff. And marriage kind of sapped that out of me. Yeah. Marriage to someone who was an equivalency seeking person. And so now I think I'm rebuilding that.
Yeah.
It's really naturally who I am.
Yeah.
And not there yet, because I think we've had many examples of where I just didn't know something was happening and you're like, that woman wanted you or whatever.
Me too, because I had a kind of...
You know men are into you, and you're also able to show you're into them.
But I was out of the habit of even looking at men.
That's true.
During my marriage, I was like, eyes down, do not make eye contact with men, don't talk to them, because it would trigger
issues. About that on the
but we talked about that before. But what I'm so interested in is, because you grew up in the 70s and 80s and 90s, and there was still a decent amount of sexism and misogyny and just go after, get that pussy. So some men did grow up that way.
I was trained in you know, get pussy and do it all the time.
But you also had a very strong maternal figure who was a working mother, mm-hmm. very successful working mother. Mm-hmm. And I think I love that. I loved your mom. But I think it's really interesting, because you could have gone down the just fuck women and there are pieces of property and pieces of meat and just notches on my belt. You've never gone that way. You always had serious girlfriends. But even with your hookups, and we've talked about this on the podcast, where even with your hookups, you were like, making sure they came and taking them home in the morning, and you didn't even know their name necessarily. You're like, so.
Of course you're going to do that.
But of course, but I love that. And I think that comes from just who you are as a person. You're a good person. You also have a sister. You also have a mother, both of whom you love and respect. And you have, you know.
I had a lot of very positive female figures in my life.
Yes.
And I love them very much. And I've always been comfortable with women. And I've seen guys who were jerks with women and that either made me mad or made me confused. Like, why are you being like that? That doesn't make sense. I'm not social signaling. I'm not perfect. And there's, I think you may be a little vague on my history. There was definitely a time when I was a player and racking up notches on my belt.
College before your college?
College.
And then after?
Little in high school too. Right. My last junior, senior year, I was that guy. And then.
Oh, that's right. Because you had a girlfriend and then you, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then I didn't have a steady girlfriend until I was married after that. So it was a lot of years of doing things, which is great. That was the environment we were in. And
yeah,
it was a fun time. But I did always respect women. I just think that's just part of who I am. And I think a lot of guys really do. My friend who I just mentioned, I've seen him with girlfriends, and he definitely takes on a dominant tone with them once he's comfortable and in the relationship.
Mm.
And he'll hear him that too. But no, I've seen him with girlfriends, and he almost, I used to call him daddy. I'd go, quit daddying that girl, because he'd be trying to tell him what to do.
Well, stuff like
that, which is not the same. But I'm just saying, he was just hesitant with women when he meets them because he doesn't really know how to approach them or work with them or talk with them. But once he's in a relationship, he goes into that more of a manly mode, I guess, if you could say. I don't know. It's really confusing for men. And I think the last 50 years has been very confusing for men because the world's changed. And we had 10,000 years before of what you called misogyny, what was a paternal patriarchal system. And then suddenly, in our generation, it's switched a lot. And really, the pendulum swung to where women just don't need men anymore. They don't need them for security. They don't need them for money. They don't need them to have a life. I remember back in the 50s, your job as a woman was to go get a secretary job at the law firm so you could marry a rich lawyer. And if you didn't, by the time you're 25, you're an old maid. And that's not true anymore. These days, women need men, I think, but not for those things as much anymore.
Yeah.
And I think women still need men, just like men still need women. I think there's still a need to have that part of your life and to share life with someone. I'm just talking about hetero couples.
It's the connection that we're both needing and wanting
it's
now.
It's human connection.
And it's less of a financial agreement and a ownership. And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it is. If men have in the past been able to marry whoever they want because women are less selective because they don't have any financial power, can't get their own credit cards, can't even take out a loan without a man's permission.
And that was only up until what, early 70s?
Exactly. That was very recent. And we're still dealing with a whole lot of very sexist, misogynistic issues. But it's still a big change. And we're all trying to adjust. But it's hard because if you're a heterosexual man who loves women, you want to know what to do. And there are terrible men out there. I get it. And we want to avoid those. But I think most of the good men we talk to, they just want to know what to do.
That's why you have this industry of male consultations and and men's retreats and all sorts of things for men to figure that out.
And there's some great stuff out there. And then there's some terrible red pill, awful stuff out there that, goodness, makes me sad for the younger generation to fall into, unfortunately. Because we really are better together, supporting each other and listening to each other and trying to put ourselves in each other's shoes and not saying that all men are like this and all women are like this, like treating each person like an individual and having actual conversations with humans and, you know, getting offline and getting in person. That's been the best thing about the lifestyle for us is just all of the in-person socializing that we now do and getting to know so many different kinds of people.
People we'd never run across.
No, that we would never run across otherwise. And I think it's healthy and it's something we're really missing in today's society. So.
Did we answer your question?
Yeah, I think so.
Growing up as a man and my.
Here's, I guess, what I'm curious about, right? I think that there's a whole line of training that a lot of men don't even think about that's a little bit knee-jerk. That if you're dating someone, someone else looks at your woman or your woman is speaking to another man, that's an issue you have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And if other people see that happen and see you not take action by confronting the man, confronting your woman, mm-hmm. you know, that somehow weakens you, or you're a cuck, or you're a chump. And we've talked about in the past, like, one of your main triggers is not wanting to feel like a chump. And there's a lot of reasons why that could be, right? Social conditioning or your own personal experiences. But I would think that's applicable to a lot of men.
Oh, sure.
And then, so if you've got that training and you've been in monogamous relationships where you felt like you had to be on alert for outward threats that you would have to deal with, not even if you didn't personally care if I was talking to another
yeah,
guy,
you still have to
if we were at a party and I was talking to some other guy and other people witnessed me speaking to another man.
In a flirty way,
or that was perceived as a flirty way, because we're just both flirting right. people, that you would feel compelled to go up and interrupt the discussion, to somehow demonstrate some territory.
Yeah,
some sort of signal of dominance, mm-hmm. right? Come over and start talking about your car, or how much money you make, right. or your successful business, or something. That is what typically I've seen in mm-hmm. my past relationships with men, mm-hmm. right? That there's some jockeying for position. Mm-hmm. We've got pulling your penis out, putting it on the table, mm-hmm. you know? Have you felt that pressure in social situations? God, I don't feel like naturally that's who you are, but like.
Yes. Let's see, if I was in a normal monogamous relationship and we didn't have the education we have yeah. on relationships that we have now, I would feel threatened. I would feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I would feel the only way to get over the threat and the embarrassment is to go and man up and go in there and, hey, what are you guys doing? You know, cut that off. And then, hey, we're leaving now. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I could, yeah, definitely. That's in my training. And I'm guessing most men listening to this, probably that's in their training as well, unless they're really enlightened. It took me a few years to get over that. And then being with you, obviously. But I was never like that with my wife. Of course, she wasn't really flirting with anybody ever that I could tell. Or she hit it really well. But yeah, I could see that when that triggers insecurities and what if I lose her because of a bigger, better deal and that kind of thing. Yeah, for sure. So I think that is the standard. And I think the exceptions are people who are like really in a great relationship where they're not worried about that. Or they're mature enough to go, yeah, that's just her doing her thing. But I would think that's pretty rare. Even I'm just thinking of the monogamous, you know, normie parties we used to go to with you. Yeah. They were free-flowing and stuff, and there was opportunity for people to flirt, but they never really crossed the line.
No.
And there's a reason for that, is there's an inherent social barrier to picking up on someone's chick at a party, unless you want to get in a fight or you want to cause problems, and people just don't do that. And the lifestyle...
It's encouraged,
and no fights are going to start because no one's expecting that. If you're at the lifestyle party and you're... wife is talking to a man, pretty much expected, and to the extent that you can be okay with that is the extent that you can really have a place in it, I think.
Yeah,
because it's going to happen, and that's part of the fun of it. It's part of the kind of scary part of it.
Yeah, it's a turn on.
It is a turn on. It's a big turn on for
us. No,
we channeled it.
Jealousy has turned completely into an aphrodisiac for me. Yeah, it's.
You have definitely channeled that.
I am so happy about it.
From a threat to a turn on, which is amazing. In a very short time.
Yes.
We're only like 5 episodes ahead of when you were worried about it.
I know. We'll see if it lasts.
And for me, it was a slow drip over time that, yeah, I'm okay with that because she came back. Or I'm okay with that because, or she told me about it later and it turned us on. And now you still tell me about it. Like we were just talking in the last podcast about the guy at the lunch table. And there was a tiny bit of jealousy in there.
Yeah.
A much bigger part of turn on there.
Yeah.
And a bigger part of just amusement. So that's how it's transformed from threat detection to...
Yes.
Amusement,
yes,
basically
to turn
and then
on.
Are talking about it after, which is fun, and then having some material for the podcast.
It is so fun. Yes, the talking about it and processing is so much fun for me and such a turn on. I'm turned on right now. And we just had sex. I can't even.
How do you feel about that you're able to have those conversations with me after the fact? Because I think you like saying like I really looked at me, or yeah, I looked him right in the eyes, and like that, you get a little charge out of that.
It's so refreshing. I've never once in a relationship ever been able to do that. It was always something I had to keep to myself. And it just felt dishonest. And it took away from the intimacy I could have had with those previous partners. And I feel like it just adds so much to our relationship to be able to, it's like, you know what happened. I know what happened, but we're not talking about it.
Right.
We're just, it's bullshit.
Here's how it might have gone. We're driving home together, and I'm like, I know you, that guy was looking at you, wasn't he? And you might say, well, yeah, he
was he? I don't think so.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't
Let's
notice.
Let's play this out. Let's role play this. Okay. Hey, I know that guy was looking at you at the lunch table.
No, he wasn't.
I really don't like the way he was doing that.
He was not.
His
wife was right there. He wouldn't have been doing that.
Oh, my God. That's exactly what it happened.
Uh-huh.
He was looking at you. I watched him. And as soon as you stopped talking about sexy stuff, he started wanting to get to know you.
Oh, that's bullshit.
No, I watched it happen.
You're just paranoid and jealous. Like, right?
No, I'm just...
And then I start gaslighting
yeah, right,
you.
Right.
Right? It's bullshit. It's such bullshit. I'm like, yeah, I know. And he was hot. And I looked at him. And I liked it. Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
And you're like, yeah, he was totally your type.
And isn't that fun?
Wingmanned you.
Isn't that fun for me to be able to say, yeah, he was totally your type?
It's so refreshing.
Yeah, did you give me your card? Yeah. So maybe.
Yeah, I know.
And his wife is cute.
Exactly.
I never saw her stand up, so I never saw how really cute she was.
Yeah, you like to see the full package.
I need to see the full picture.
Yes.
But yeah, that's a great example of two ways it could have gone. Previous to lifestyle and previous to a really solid relationship that's open.
Yeah.
And now.
It's great because it really frees men up. Part of changing this whole patriarchal system we have that is based on ownership of women, this concept of ownership of women, the lifestyle explodes a lot of that. Because if you're in the lifestyle, your woman isn't owned by you. She's making her own decisions and she's exploring her own sexuality just like you are. And it's very
That's very
egalitarian.
Hard for a lot of guys to deal with, though.
Yeah.
Because it's not normal for them.
Yes.
And to see you, I remember when we were first dating.
Yeah.
When we were in the normal world. And I remember thinking, gosh, she's really a sexual person. And when I take her out into the real world, this might be hard to deal with because I think she just likes the attention of a lot of men. And where I was mistaken was everyone likes the attention of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
And it's not a threat. And I remember considering that, not being worried about it, but I remember considering, gosh, she just really likes the attention of a lot of men. I wonder how I'm going to have to deal with that kind of thing. Very early on, but now I can't imagine that.
It's so nice because flirting is really fun. It's just a way to connect with people. It doesn't have to be threatening to your relationship. And you're an amazing flirt. And
we just talked about how I'm a terrible flirt.
No, you really are. You are an amazing flirt. You just don't realize when women are interested.
And then
you don't take it further.
And I don't realize when I'm flirting.
And yes.
Maybe because I'm...
No, you just...
There's kind of a barrier there. Like, I'm interested in you sexually or I'm not.
True.
And if I'm interested in you sexually, I'm going to act like I'm not because it might be seen as being... Like, I was just asking about how the guy at the bar we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
I was like, what did he do? And I was asking for myself, what exactly did he do?
Yeah.
And you said he was touching me. He was talking about skiing. We had a really good conversation. But he was into me and I could tell. And I'm trying to figure out exactly how you knew that, what he was saying that was different from anybody else. Did he say, and by the way, I'm still really into you?
No, he didn't say anything.
He didn't say anything like that.
He just, at one point, hugged me really close and was, you know, talking about...
Was his penis hard?
I have no idea. I did not touch his penis. He's talking about, you know, a second home that they have and stuff, which I think...
Oh, yeah. We have this beautiful home and showing you pictures of it. Wouldn't it be great if we all went there together?
I know, right?
That's a clear indication.
Yeah. No, and he's just being nice. But, like, in the same way that I think you don't realize, but you do the same things in that you are always making people feel valued and loved and...
I think my intention's different.
It may be different, but it has the same effect. You have genuine interest in people.
I do.
Men or women, whoever you're talking to. That's why people like you. That's why women like you and are drawn to you. And I think women are especially drawn to you because they don't feel that pressure and that expectation from you.
You did have that with him.
A little bit, yeah. And so, yes, what I would say is your approach is probably better. We can just tweak it so that you're, you know,
recognize
the signals earlier so that if you want to take things further, that you could try the next step, which is sustaining eye contact for longer, hugs. In the lifestyle, everybody kisses on the lips. You could do that instead of giving everybody the cheek like I do, except for Superman. And yeah, so for you, I think you are exactly where you should be. It's so much better to be coming from this end of it, from the respectful end, working up and just learning the signals and ensuring that you have full buy-in and consent before going too far so that you're not one of those guys that feels pushy or that there's expectations there. Because I guarantee you, I am not the only woman who that turns off. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's any woman in our group who wouldn't sleep with you right now, honestly. I just think one of the biggest cock blockers for you is that I'm not playing. And so I think a lot of couples are like, full swap, it has to be the both couples. There are some who I think play separately. But I think the more people get to know us, if there are opportunities for you to play separately, I think I see that as going really well for you. And
if I want it.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll show up.
All of my intentions and lifestyle are be with you.
I know. And I've seen that I'm coming around where I could be there if that really meant a lot to you. I just don't necessarily want to really.
No, I see what you're saying.
I could bring the condoms and the wipes and the water.
You'll be our cabin boy.
I could take pictures if y'all want that. Yeah, 100%, right?
Who's that scurrying around?
I could be a cheerleader. Oh my God, y'all look so hot. Oh my God.
That could work.
We could do something.
You'd have to be in bed naked with us, though.
Maybe. Girl,
Yeah, I think there's a lot of training and there's a lot of programming in men and me. And I've had to upend a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I think you were saying it's not the same for you as much.
Yeah.
What were you saying about that?
For me, it's more getting rid of the people-pleasing training, the saying yes when I mean no training, putting everyone else's needs above my own training. You really can't do that in the lifestyle. You end up engaging in sexual activities that you regret, and that's a terrible feeling, and I don't recommend it to anybody.
And you learn from it.
And you learn, mm-hmm. Exactly. I think probably the number one thing I've gotten out of being in the lifestyle is assertiveness. Learning who I am and learning how to state my needs and ask for my needs and to let the chips fall where they may and not worry so much about everyone else's feelings and worry more about my own feelings. And let other people take care of themselves. I know how to be disappointed. I'm a grown up. Mm-hmm. Other people can also be disappointed. Yes. And that is okay.
That's
you
a
have
great
helped.
Lesson.
You have helped me realize that. You have said that to me from the beginning. And I was, oh God, I can't. Like, that's going to hurt their feelings, or I'm going to make them feel bad, or I'm going to lead them on. And I still do try to avoid leading people on. Right now, I'm trying to be pretty upfront about the fact that I'm in a monogamous phase so that I don't lead people on. But I do like to talk and flirt, but I try to slip that in so that I, you know, if you want to continue to talk to me, yes. But if you're trying to, you know, lay the foundation here so then we can go sleep together next week, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm, right.
Like, and
it's kind of a good plan.
It is. It feels good and authentic.
And it's yours.
To me, yes. And I try to also mention that it has nothing to do with you, that you have no limitations or anything on you, rules or boundaries on you. It turns me on, in fact, for you to do whatever you want and then tell me about it later, like massively. And
which
so
makes you the most amazing woman to ever walk the face of the earth. For a guy, that's like a dream.
You're just so hot.
You would think it's a dream.
You deserve the best. Yeah. And you're just so sweet and you're such a good partner. I just don't know how I got so lucky. And seriously, guys out there, listen to all the podcasts and listen to Aiden. Like, just listen to how he is with me. And sorry, you're going to hate this because I know you hate me bragging on you. But
I think it's boring for people to hear about a relationship.
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, what it brings out in me is this relaxed, happy, safe version of Anna that I'm able to bring a much better version of myself to our relationship. It's like the way you treat me comes back to you,
mm-hmm.
in all of this, just complete trust and love and benefit of the doubt and compersion, all of it, because yeah. That's how you treat me.
Yeah. And I would say that is a good lesson for men listening, because the more freedom we have in our relationship, the closer we get.
Yeah.
And for guys out there who are really worried about keeping their partner in line or worried about them getting too far off the ranch, to the degree you can let that go, it just proves itself out and it becomes a virtuous circle where, okay, I let that go, she comes back, she's better than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that happen in our relationship just over and over again. The more freedom we have,
yeah.
The closer we get. We've talked about this at length. That is one of the ironies of it. And it's the old adage, if you love something, set it free. But if it doesn't come back, it wasn't meant to be yours.
Yes.
And in a different way, that kind of applies, that the more freedom someone has to be themselves, the more they love you for it. Does that make sense?
Oh, it is everything for me.
It is everything for you. For
my sure. Enneagram is a 2-wing-3 sexual, what is it? Variant, whatever it is.
Deviant.
Sexual deviant. That's what I almost said. Sexual variant. Anyway, which just means I connect
one on one.
Yeah, I like to connect one on one. It doesn't necessarily mean sex, but I like that. It sounds cooler.
Look up the Enneagram. It's very interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
But as a 2, what I value most is someone who allows me to be myself and who loves me just as I am, like Bridget mm-hmm. Jones' Diary. I love you just as you are. I was like, oh my God, all I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the reasons that the show Nobody Wants This with Kristen Bell and Adam Brody is so popular, because that's essentially what he tells her. She's like, you don't want me. I'm a hot mess. And he's, yes, I do. I love all your hot mess. I love you just as you are. And she's like, I am now in love with you and I can't do without you. There's something that feels so good about that to me. And there's such a gift that you've given me in this relationship. It makes me just want to do everything to make you happy and want to be with you forever. And apparently only fuck you, at least for now, but we'll see.
I love hearing that. And that's really is a great lesson for men, is that try it. If you tend to be controlling or managing of your partner, try letting go things, little things here and there, and then maybe big things, and just see how that works for you. Because I think what you'll find is that you'll get a very positive reaction to it. You'll probably get a negative reaction to continued control, because no one likes to be controlled. Well, some people like to be controlled, I guess, but healthy people don't want to be controlled.
Yeah.
And they don't need it. If they're healthy people and they take care of their shit, they don't need anyone controlling them. And we've talked in the past about how you've always had someone trying to tell you what to do your entire life.
Yeah.
Dad, boyfriends, husband. And then we get into this relationship and I'm not trying to do that. And it's a freeing thing for you.
Yeah.
And thusly, it's freeing for me, because I don't have the burden of having to do it.
Yes.
Which is exhausting, to try and control other fucking people.
Because you can't, ultimately.
You can't control other people.
You can only control yourself.
And you could go your whole life trying to control people, and you'll find people coming in and out of your life the whole time. So.
And look, if somebody is hurting your feelings in your relationship, right? If you're a guy and you're like, yeah, but it really pisses me off when my wife talks to other men at parties and really hurts my feelings. Instead of getting angry with her about it, the mature thing to do, and what actually strikes me as super masculine when you've done this, is we sit down together later and you're like, can I talk to you about something? And I'm like, okay. And you're like, I feel stupid for saying this, but when you were talking to that guy, I felt a little jealous. And I'm like, oh my God, that guy, let me tell you about him. This is what we were talking about. He was weird, actually. We had a little flirtation, but no, not a thing. And then you talk about it. It's like sunshine. It just is the cure for everything. Be open with each other about your insecurities, about your thoughts, your feelings.
And guys can do that.
Guys can. And I'm telling you, the reaction you'll get from your women, and women do this too, because I was really reluctant to admit my jealousy to you, because I didn't want to be needy or it be perceived as controlling or whiny or insecure. So if both of you can inch toward talking about these really hard things, I promise you it creates so much more intimacy. Now, of course, if you're not in a healthy relationship, it might not. And it may lead to blow-ups or other issues. And you know what? That might mean you're in the wrong relationship. And that happens. We both had those relationships.
Or it points out things you should work on with a therapist, or work on heavier.
Exactly.
And go deeper on.
Correct.
It's an indication. If you're finding yourselves butting heads over issues of relationship, jealousy, hurt feelings, then that's something to work on. And it's just, that's the signal. You gotta work on that thing. And whether it's together or with a third party, we always say a third party. Bring a third party in.
We mean a therapist. But it could be a hot chick too. Or a guy.
Yeah. And if you can find yourself being able to deal with that and settle those matters and really come to an understanding, it just makes it that much better.
Truly.
All right, what other questions do you have?
So I'm probably going to think of a ton as soon as we log off, but that's all that I can think of for now. I just feel like the lifestyle has allowed you to come into your own as the man you were always meant to be, without judgment for finding other women attractive. And it's done the same thing for me, because it's ridiculous to pretend that I don't find other men attractive either, but that You just seem very self-possessed. You have always been a confident person as long as I've known you. But the last couple of years, I've just watched you become even more confident and just the best Aiden you can become.
I feel that. I really do. I think, yeah, last couple of years.
Yeah.
With you, with our open-minded communication, our deep communication, our openness, the naughty things we've done together, getting over all the issues in that time, or trying, continuing to get over all those issues. Yeah, that brings confidence.
It's so empowering.
And that confidence, it goes into my work. It goes into my other relationships.
Yeah.
It definitely seeps through not just our relationship, but beyond, and makes me ultimately a more successful person. I say successful in work and relationship and play and fatherhood and all those things, friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's definitely put me on that path. And I really owe it to you and to this new way of thinking about things.
I think so. It's like for all of us, to the extent that we can start to align our inner true selves with our outer selves, that's when we achieve
self-actualization.
Self-actualization. Thank you. That is the word I've been looking for. Mm-hmm. That is where we achieve self-actualization. Because I think a lot of mental health issues and dissatisfaction in life come with having to mask and there being a disconnect between who we are on the inside and who we feel we have to be on the outside.
100%.
To get love, to get affection, to fit in.
Yeah.
And the lifestyle has just gotten rid of a whole section of that for us. And who knew?
Yeah.
Because everybody thinks it's just all about sex, but it really is about so much more than that, obviously, because we're not even engaging in the sex part right now.
Yeah, it's almost like the opportunity for sex with others just brings up all the other things to address to achieve that.
Yep.
Even if you don't do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good thing to cap this off on. I think that's a great message. We hope you guys enjoyed this.
Yes, and thank you for your emails. We've gotten so many emails since we were on the Naughty Gym podcast, and we so appreciate it. Keep them coming. We love hearing your thoughts and opinions about our episodes and how they connected with you. We're trying to write everybody back. Join our Facebook group. That's linked in the show notes, and we're going to try to get more of a discussion going there. But
send us an email.
Send us an email. We'd really love us to
form. We have that one we need to read. We got one just yesterday that was just really in depth.
Oh my gosh.
Read that on the air.
We are. The next podcast, I think we're going to do that.
And she was cool with us reading it, right?
She was. Yeah. Yeah. And if you could email us, let us know if you're okay with us sharing your email on air. We'll obviously do it anonymously. We're very into protecting privacy. But just let us know and stay in touch. We really love and appreciate all of you. And we'll see you on the next one.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.